This is Jim Lansford reading the Bloomington Pantograph for today's date, August the 9th, 2017. School supply giveaway relieves stress for many. Bloomington Normal students meet principals, receive backpacks at event. Julia Evelsizer, Bloomington. Nearly 3,000 students will start the school year with a boost of confidence thanks to new backpacks on their shoulders. During the Back to School Alliance giveaway on Tuesday, hundreds of Bloomington Normal students received free backpacks stuffed with school supplies distributed at Grossinger Motors Arena in downtown Bloomington. "This event helps our family a lot," said Jeremy Washington of Bloomington. "It provides us with certain supplies we may not be able to get otherwise." In a line that wrapped around the arena, Washington waited with his three daughters. He said the money his family saves on supplies will go towards new clothes for the girls. Jasmine Washington lit up when she talked about her approaching first day of kindergarten at Cedar Ridge Elementary School. "I like coloring the most," said Jasmine. School supplies were distributed to students in kindergarten through eighth grade at McLean County Unit 5 and Bloomington District 87 schools. Students were required to be registered for school, have up-to-date immunizations, and meet federal low-income requirements for free or reduced lunches. Items like backpacks, notebooks, markers, and binders were collected in donation boxes throughout the Twin Cities. "We had a wonderful response. People were very generous," said event organizer Jan Meadows, noting the Alliance received many donations from shoppers at Hy-Vee in Bloomington and both Walmart stores. "To see this all come together, I feel happy and relieved. It takes a lot of volunteers," she said. Games, face painting, and jump rope was available for families waiting outside. Inside the area, students could meet their principals, play games, and earn prizes after picking out a backpack. "It's great to see the students before school starts, because that's when we're able to start that connection," said Jennifer McGowan, principal at Sheridan Elementary. "This event levels the playing field and gives students a sense of ownership right away." Jessica Phillips of Bloomington greeted McGowan with a hug while visiting the event with her two school children. "School supplies can be so expensive. It relieves a lot of stress," said Phillips. Parents also could browse both booths to learn about local resources available, including financial tips, health advice, and other community services. On the way out of the arena, each family received a tote stuffed with food from Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Tobias Jones, a sixth grader at Bloomington Junior High School, was happy to see markers in his backpack because he loves art. "I'm excited for junior high to learn more, meet new people, and get involved in new activities," he said. Evans Junior High principal Chris McGraw said, "The backpack full of gear can leave a big impact on students. Junior high can be stressful. This takes one less worry away, so they don't need to be anxious on their first day. When we see students here, we say, 'We're excited to see you. You're part of the family, and we miss you,'" said McGraw. James Harden, Executive Director of Human Resources and Student Services at Unit 5, attended the event for the first time. "This is absolutely amazing," he said. "It's a beautiful mosaic of people coming together for the common cause of education and getting kids excited." Unit 5 starts school on August 16th, and District 87 begins August 18th. Officials: students must get vaccines. Health Department to host walk-in clinic. Julia Evelsizer. Bloomington: the countdown to the first day of school has started, but students cannot attend Twin City schools without the proper immunizations. Get it done as early as possible so kids aren't excluded from school. The McLean County Health Department is open year-round, and we're willing to meet their vaccine needs, says Susan Grant, Supervisor of Community Health Services for McLean County Health Department. According to Illinois law, All students entering K through 12 schools must be immunized against measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, chickenpox, and hepatitis B. Appointment cards to receive vaccinations will not be accepted on the first day of school. Vaccination appointments can be made from 8:15 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the Health Department, 200 West Front Street in Bloomington. The office will be open until 6 p.m. on Monday. The department also will host a walk-in clinic for school-aged children next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Through the Federal Vaccines for Children program, any family on Medicaid or without health insurance can receive free or discounted shots. Vaccinations are more important for school-aged children. They're in a contained environment and they pass a lot of germs around, said Grant. People are so nonchalant about chickenpox, mumps, and measles, yet it can be benign, but not for everyone. People do still die from these diseases. An Illinois law went into full effect last year to tighten measures for parents who want to opt their child out of the vaccinations. Now, the only acceptable reasons for vaccination deferrals are specific religious beliefs or if the child has a severe medical condition like cancer. Paperwork must be signed by the child's physician, and it must be approved by the State Board of Education and presented to the school. School officials are encouraging parents with questions to call their child's school nurse, primary physician, or the health department. We will do everything we can to see students in school on the first day. We want everyone to be protected, said Michelle Maurer, school nurse at Bloomington High School. School nurses truly want to connect to families and the right resources. That's on the front burner of what we're doing this time of year, added Susie Markham, curriculum chair for the McLean County Unit 5 Nursing Department. Markham said research has proven the importance of vaccinations, especially for the health of children. It has been such a long time since hospitals have been full of patients with diphtheria, polio, and measles, said Markham. This generation and their parents haven't seen the times when children and adults died from those diseases. Buchanan leaving board. Former mayor steps down from District 7 seat, public service. Edith Brady Looney. Bloomington. McLean County board member and former Bloomington mayor, Rich Buchanan, is resigning from his District 7 seat, citing health reasons. Buchanan's resignation was announced Tuesday during the board's executive committee meeting. Buchanan, 78, who served two terms as Bloomington's mayor from 1977 to 1985 before being elected to the county board in 2012, said after the meeting that, "I've just loved doing this, serving here and for the city." A new board member will be appointed to fill the vacancy on September 19th. Buchanan ends a public service career that spanned more than four decades. He served as a Bloomington City Council member before twice being elected the city's mayor. Buchanan also served more than 35 years on the City Liquor Commission, stepping down in December 2012 when he won his county board seat. McLean County Board Chairman John McIntyre said, "We've been very fortunate to have Rich Buchanan join us on this board after serving as the mayor of Bloomington. I'm thankful to know him as a friend, fellow soldier, and colleague. He and his wife Judy have been great public servants, and we're all indebted to him for his service." Judy Buchanan, who serves as chairman of the McLean County Board of Health, accompanied her husband to his final meeting. The county board will accept applications for Buchanan's seat until September 7th. All eligible applicants will be interviewed by the executive committee at its 4:30 p.m. meeting September 12th. Event to add downtown parklets. Bloomington to turn parking spaces into mini parks for a day. Maria Nagel. Bloomington. A new event next month is meant to add some fun to the idea of parking in downtown Bloomington. Some parallel parking spots will become mini parks and other community spaces, called parklets, for people to enjoy at least for 1 or perhaps 2 days. The City of Bloomington, the Downtown Bloomington Association, and the McLean County Regional Planning Commission have partnered to host Square to Be There on September 15th, inspired by the International Parking Day movement. We're hoping to bring awareness to land use patterns, how spaces can be multifunctional, and the possibility of those uses and functions were reimagined, said MCRPC Executive Director Vasudha Penamaraja. Organizers hope to see some creative, temporary parklets designed for the event. Sponsors will have the option to leave their parklets in place during the Farmers Market and Tour de Taco bicycling event on September 16th. Anyone interested in creating a parklet is encouraged to participate, but members of the downtown business community are receiving priority for creating parklets in front of their businesses, said Penamaraja. The event encourages people to ask, how can this space be better? And because it's just one day, we are creating opportunities for quick and low-cost experimentation. She married Gary D. Hayes on September 22, 1979. A celebration of life visitation will begin at 10 a.m. August 19th, followed by a service at 11:30 a.m. at Glad Tidings Assembly of Church of God Church, 2201 East Washington Street, East Peoria. A meal will follow the service. In lieu of flowers, please make memorials to Glad Tidings Church Teen Challenge Ministry or to Fairhaven Retirement Community, 605 North 4th Street, Fairbury, Illinois, 61739. Virgil Lou Hoffman. Virgil Lou Hoffman, 83, of Clinton, passed away 10:42 a.m. Sunday, August 6, 2017, at his home. Service will be at 11 a.m. Thursday at Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton, with the Reverend C. Donald Farrell and the Reverend Stephen Hill officiating. Burial will follow at Memorial Park Cemetery, Clinton, with military honors. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Memorials may be directed to Clinton Presbyterian Church or the Diabetes Association. Lou was born September 8, 1933, in Clinton, the son of William A. and Nellie Poole Hoffman. He married Arlene Case on July 3, 1957, in Clinton. Robert Chemnitz. Robert Lee Chemnitz, 82, of Piper City, passed away at 3:05 a.m. Saturday, August 5, 2017, at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Cremation rites were accorded, and interment will be held at a later date in the Brinton Cemetery, Piper City. Memorials may be made to Piper City Rehab and Living Center or to the donor's choice. Arrangements by the Riley Redeninus Funeral Home, Piper City. Timothy Lee. Timothy Lee, 71, of Bloomington, passed away at 6:40 a.m. Thursday, August 3, 2017, at home. A memorial service will be at a later date. Memorial donations may be made to Center for Hope Ministries, 14940 Old Colonial Road, Bloomington, Illinois, 61704, or CISAR 29738 East 1400 North Road, Colfax, Illinois, 61728. Tim was born August 16, 1945, in Peoria, a son of Jack and Ruth Lee. He married Cindy Trinkle August 4, 1984, in Leroy. She survived. Christine Roberts. Christine Roberts, retired Beardstown school teacher of Normal, formerly of Beardstown, died Saturday, August 5, 2017, at Heartland Healthcare Center, Normal. She was born October 7, 1922, in Beardstown. the daughter of Chris and Ogle Coleman. At age 13, Roy Roberts saw her across the square and said, "I'm going to marry that girl." Marry they did on December 23, 1943, at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Cincinnati, shortly before he left for Germany to fight in World War II. He wrote her letters, and she kept every one of them. Thus began a successful and beautiful 73-year. Her funeral will be at 10 a.m. Saturday at St. John's Lutheran Church, Beardstown, with Pastor Douglas Evanson officiating. Burial will be at St. John's Lutheran Cemetery, Beardstown. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at Sager Funeral Home, Beardstown. Memorials are suggested to the Cass Schuller Area Hospital or St. John's Lutheran Church. Condolences may be sent to the family at www.sagerfuneralhome.com. And in 2014, before hiring Johnson, Lindenhurst also used GovHR for the search. Cause of fatal normal fire still undetermined. Woman killed in condo unit blaze Sunday morning. Kevin Barlow. Normal. Investigators are still trying to determine what started a fire that claimed the life of a normal woman early Sunday morning. In a statement issued Tuesday, Normal IRE department officials said they have completed their work at 1538 Hunt Drive, but have not yet determined the cause. Firefighters were called to the scene just after midnight Sunday and had discovered heavy smoke and fire inside one of the units in a four-unit condominium building. After entering, they found Deanna McLaren Osborne, 68, unresponsive on the kitchen floor. Efforts to resuscitate her were not successful. A preliminary estimate puts damage to the building and contents at $325,000. NFD officials said Tuesday that number is likely to change as insurance adjusters continue working with the homeowners and the condo association to get a full assessment. The fire appears to have originated in the woman's unit and spread to the roof above it and to the adjacent units. There was heavy fire, smoke, and water damage to the first unit, and moderate water and smoke damage to two other units. The NPD declared all four units of the townhouse-style condominiums uninhabitable for the remaining residents. Dwight man hit by train, killed. Pantograph staff. Ransom. A Dwight man has been killed after being struck by a train near Ransom. Chad Santaneo, 42, was killed after being struck by a train around 7:30 p.m. Sunday at the crossing of the BNSF Railway at North 17th Road and East 29th Road, north of Ransom, said LaSalle County Coroner William Wujek. It remains unknown why Sandeno was walking near the tracks, said Wujek. Allen Township Fire and EMS responded to the scene. The incident remains under investigation by the LaSalle County Sheriff's Office, Coroner's Office, BNSF Railway Police, and Illinois State Police Crime Scene Services, Wujek said. New Illinois law lets teens donate organs. Chicago. If you're old enough to drive in Illinois, you're now old enough to be an organ and tissue donor. Governor Bruce Rauner signed a law Tuesday authorizing 16 and 17-year-olds to join the statewide registry. Republican Rauner says there are more than 4,700 people in Illinois alone awaiting organ transplants. About 300 a year die waiting. The Drive for Life Act allows anyone 16 or older to join the organ and tissue donor registry when he or she gets a driver's license or state ID. Parents and guardians have the right to revoke consent until a teen is 18. Democratic Secretary of State Jesse White says he and state legislators have worked on the law with the Mid-America Transplant Services and Gift of Hope. Obituaries. Mary Bridgens. Mary C. Bridgens, 93, of Washington, passed away at 12:59 a.m. Monday, August 7, 2017, at Headington Oaks, Peoria. She was born September 19, 1923, in Dana, to Bert and Mildred Huxtable Coyle. Mary married George O'Day in 1943. She later married Robert E. Bridgens in 1980. Cremation rights have been accorded by the Dieters Funeral Home and Crematory, Washington. A private memorial service will be held at a later date. Interment will be at Dana Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Alzheimer's Association. Mary's memorial website is available at www.dietersfuneralhome.com, where condolences may also be sent to the family. Connie Coomer. Connie Lee Coomer, 90, of Baldwin, Missouri, passed away Sunday, August 6, 2017, in Town and Country, Missouri. She is survived by her sister. Service and interment are private. In lieu of flowers, contributions may be made to the Humane Society of Missouri or Stray Rescue of St. Louis, a service of the Schrader Funeral Home and Crematory, Baldwin Museum, Missouri. Barbara Hayes. Barbara Jean Hayes, 75, of Washburn, passed away peacefully at 2:20 a.m. Saturday, August 5, 2017, in her home, surrounded by her family. She was born January 24, 1942, in Peoria, to Gerald E. and Dorothy E. Stone Freeman. She married Gary D. Hayes on September 26th. Our views. Downtown mall pitch we're studying. The idea of a pedestrian mall in downtown Bloomington is an intriguing pitch without a lot of clear absolutes in terms of impact. Still, the idea is worth consideration for inclusion in the Downtown Task Force initial report due at the end of August. The mall, as envisioned, would be a block-long section of the 400 block of North Main Street that already is home to a coffee shop, restaurant, and several retail establishments. The mall premise would limit the area to foot traffic, with the exception of a dedicated center lane available for emergency vehicles and commercial buses. We'd go a step further, limiting that center lane only to emergency vehicles, suggesting the city work with businesses and residents to offer long-term parking in the available city decks and scheduling business deliveries on that block for a two-hour period each morning. City leaders, residents, and retailers have worked for years to make downtown Bloomington a welcoming and thriving place for business, residential, and commercial growth. But for a number of reasons, it's not caught on nearly to the extent that Uptown Normal has. Perhaps that's because Uptown was part of a specific designed overhaul. Some say it's because Uptown's proximity to Illinois State University makes it an easy draw. Some say it's because downtown Bloomington has too many bars and one-way streets, but not so much because it lacks a hotel. The whys don't really matter. It's clear that Uptown and downtown never will be identical bookends. At best, they will be complementary, pulling in specific crowds for specific events. For example, Bloomington's vibrant art scene anchored by the McLean County Arts Center. Downtown Bloomington is complicated. It is home to a lot of white-collar daytime businesses, millennial residential housing, bars, event-specific venues, and a strong tourist site. The magic solution to increasing retail traffic won't be found in a crystal ball. It's possible that the right answer is one that blends a variety of ideas. Downtown already has an arena, the Arts Center, an entertainment center, a variety of restaurants and bars, many small retail businesses, government offices, private business, a fantastic history museum, and areas ripe for further development. What it doesn't have, for now, is dedicated green space or a specific pedestrian zone. The task force report is expected to address all that and more, including parking. Whether the City Council chooses to follow any of it remains to be seen. What's clear, however, is that all ideas should be tossed onto the table and fully discussed if the city hopes to find an attractive, simple, and inexpensive way to get more people to visit downtown and more than once in a while. How time flies. 100 years ago, August 9, 1917, Macklin Mack is back, having walked the L.E. and W. Railroad right-of-way from Sandusky, Ohio to Bloomington. He works for the Valuation Department and checks all bridges and structures once a year. Mack will rest here for a few days and then walk the line to Peoria. 75 years ago, August 9, 1942, attendance was 250 members of the new Teenage Dance Club for the first hop in the ballroom of the Bloomington Club. It was deemed a success. Music was provided by big-name bands via phonograph. Two married couples served as chaperones. 50 years ago, August 9, 1967, Andy Sullivan is lacing up his career that has made him downtown's longest-serving shoe salesman. He started after high school graduation in 1912 and worked for several outlets, selling both men's and ladies' shoes. Most recently, he worked at Moberly and Klenner. 25 years ago, August 9, 1992, starlings, grackles, and cowbirds were infesting many Twin City trees. It's getting messy. Normal police have had some success controlling the birds with a transmitter that makes sounds the birds don't like, but there seems to be no overall cure other than time and money. One more obituary, Margaret Steinbach. Margaret E. Steinbach, 96, of Pontiac, died at 7:15 a.m. Monday, August 7, 2017, at OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center, Bloomington. Her massive Christian burial will be at 11 a.m. Friday at St. Mary's Catholic Church, Pontiac, with Father David Sable officiating. Burial will be in the Southside Cemetery, Pontiac. The rosary will be recited at 9:15 a.m. Friday at Calvert and Martin Funeral Home, Pontiac, with a visitation to follow from 9:30 to 10:45 a.m. Friday at the home. In lieu of flowers, memorials in Margaret's name may be made to St. Mary's Catholic Church or Pontiac Public. This is the end of part one. We've been reading the Bloomington Pantograph, August 9th, 2017. The reading will continue later.